Welcome to the first free 2 hours of the BingeCast on the Binge Media Podcast Network. All of our listeners receive the first 2 hours of the BingeCast for free, while premium members receive the full binge, the entire four-hour show available exclusively at patreon.com/bingemedia, and they'll get early access to the show 24 hours before everyone else. For only $5 a month, premium members also get access to exclusive shows, drinking shot recipes, and our monthly happy hour on Discord. Sign up at patreon.com/bingemedia to join us today for only $5 a month. And now, the BingeCast.
Suck, dog. One, two, three, four. It's a motherfucking BingeCast. Stress out the run time. Motherfucking AP. It's Nathaniel Jones, Junior Peterson. This is it, he called the last time. It's motherfucking BingeCast. Won't you fucking listen sometime? You know, Garrett don't like this song.
More attack.
Just like Gammy can't put down the phone.
I know.
Just like Lost missing on him. No, it's all right. It's a motherfucking bitch cast. It's a motherfucking bitch cast. Samson's game.
Ladies and gentlemen, the OG Reed.
Welcome to the BingeCast. My name is Jamal. I work for BingeMedia.net. It's a site where we do stuff, we talk stuff, we drink stuff. Oh man, I'm joined by a bunch of fucking cocksuckers tonight.
What's up, dog?
Pete, you're here. He called me up all by his lonesome. I was like, oh, what the fuck's Moreno? Why is it just Pete calling me? What are we doing? What's going on here? And then he moves his camera over, and there's Alex sitting at his fucking bar with him. The bar.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, fuck. I kind of knew something's up because Moreno was being all fucking shifty earlier in the week. And I was like, all right, well, fuck you. Hate you. And then he fucking keeps moving the camera over, and fucking there's Jack Valley.
That's right. How you doing, Law?
Fucking fantastic, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, I'm here. I'm in the bar. You know, any questions, concerns, comments, send them my way. Won't be here for too long. So,
How long has this been in the works that you've been hiding this plan from me?
A couple of days. I knew about this a week ago, right?
Yeah, I knew about it when you fucking showed up.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this cocksucker.
Yeah, that was a surprise for
So, Law, you and I have something in common.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
We drink a lot. That's the only thing we have in common.
Yeah, after the rec commentary that Jack and I did, I told Jack that Alex was coming to town with Liz, and Jack's butthole perked. He's like, I think I'll calm down.
Yep.
I said, do it.
Yep.
And then, yeah, that happened. I didn't tell Alex or Liz. They came down the stairs today, and Jack and Meg were in the living room hanging out.
Jesus Christ.
Great surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so came together quick, but here we are. So.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Fucking parties. Parties all over the fucking the USA.
Yeah.
Fucking unbelievable
the
over
USA
there.
Law. Look,
that should be a song.
It really
is. Great idea. Great idea. This is what happens when you hang out with a musician.
Yeah. What about you, Will? How are you doing? Like, you know, how's Canada? How's family?
Borders.
What happened this week? You work this week?
Oh, yeah. This week's been a blast. We had a bomb go off at our plant.
What?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. How big is that shit that you took?
It
must have been pretty impressive.
We're just working Thursday night, about an hour into our shift, and all of a sudden, fucking comes over the announcements. Please evacuate the building immediately.
Holy shit.
And we're just like, what? Like, I've worked there fucking 25 years. This is never, like, that wordage has never come over the PA. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't hear anything?
No, no. Oh, okay. And so we're just like, okay, I guess maybe we're having a fire drill or something. I don't know. There's no alarm. We have alarms literally for everything. Like, everything. And we test them every month. No alarms are going off at this point. So I'm like, all right. So I grab my fucking, you know, I grab my laptop and everything. I'm not leaving my shit out. I don't care if there's an active shooter down the line. I'm not fucking
doing it. Gotta collect those screeners.
Yeah. And so I grab my shit. I go down there. And he's like, okay, just fucking just swipe out and go home. Like, they're fucking frantic. Like, the company workers, they're like, just swipe out and go home, just swipe out. So we're like, what the fuck? All right. So anyways, in the next coming days, we found out that someone made a tiny little explosive and set it off where there was nobody working. But at the same time, it's fucked up, and I'd love to fucking know who did it.
Bubba's?
I don't know, man. And it, because there's a lot of shit going on in our plant, right? The vaccination mandate is coming into effect next month. It could be that. It could be that they just announced that they're cutting another shift. It could be that. I mean, it's fucking toxic. Everyone in there just fucking hates everyone else, and I'm no different. I don't even want to fucking deal with anybody, so. Jeez. It's a nightmare, basically.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
man. Holy shit.
So that's been fun. Yep.
Sounds like a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, oh. Blast.
Yeah, way to kick off the show with some great stories. We got a lot to do tonight.
Now, Law, when you retell this story,
yeah,
you're going to add a bunch of shit, definitely, right? Like, you,
like it was a fucking nuclear explosion.
On. You didn't have any shoes on. You're fucking walking across glass. Some crazy terrorist guy was trying to take over the plant.
You were down to a white wife beater, and that was
Jim McClane.
I took an air vent out into the fucking parking lot. It was amazing.
Laptop strapped to your back the whole time.
Come down to Windsor. We'll have a few laughs.
And the best part was you and your wife reconciled your differences at the end.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Fucking California. Fucking Windsor.
And then when I went outside, it was weird. Like, this black cop shot a white guy, and I didn't even know why. He was like, yes.
Holy shit.
Okay.
You're like, why did that black cop just shoot Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't even call you, buddy. What's going on?
Also, thanks.
Oh, yeah, I hate that guy. anyways, we got lots to talk about tonight. Now, for the full binge, if you don't know what the full binge is, you can go to patreon.com/bingemedia. And you'll find out how to sign up for our full binge show. This is the free binge you're listening to. The full binge is another extra kind of full show, I guess, that we do after this. And you have to be signed up on Patreon, $5 a month. You get this. You get Pete's commentaries. You get Jack Attack Tuesday.
I'm looking right at it.
Can we get a quick update on that before I move on, Jack? Like, where are you at? Are you up to date? Are you falling behind?
No, I'm a couple, as we record this, I am officially 3 weeks ahead, so I may actually be staring down the barrel of being done before the end of November, which is kind of my goal right now, so close it out strong.
So you can raise the bar next year, you can do like 400 movies.
Yeah, whatever you say, man. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So you can get that. All of our extra goodies will be on there for you for $5 a month. Tonight, we have recorded another edition of Wage Against the Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Now that we've... no one remembered how to play this game at all.
No, not at all.
We played a 90s edition. Is that right, Pete, the first edition?
Correct.
This one is the 80s edition. It's kind of a take on a game we used to play called Stupid Comments, where we take reviews from IMDb instead of Just like they used to have like a forum for every movie, and you could talk about it, and we would go through and make fun of it. They got rid of those, so we just use the reviews now. Pete reads reviews of a movie. Moreno and I have to try and guess that movie by waging a cast member. So Moreno wages. I can name this movie in the seventh cast member, and then I can counter, and he can counter, and then it goes on from there. So it's a lot of fun. I like Wage Against the Machine. You guys like that?
Yeah. Especially when you explain it like that.
Yeah, that was really good.
I understand.
Should try it again.
You know, we're not going to remember the next time we do it either.
Can we do a do-over?
Don't worry, I'm recording this and taking a screenshot of the rules and regulations. Of the
and it wasn't because you explained it wrong. It's because we're just dumb. It's the sole reason.
I shot my hand right up when you said dumb. Yeah. I don't know why.
Me. Present. Without taking attendance.
Oh, fuck. All right. So that's a full binge. So if you want to hear that, and it's a lot of fun, go over to patreon.com/bingemedia, sign up, and figure it out. All right. Let's do some voicemail, boys.
Let's do it.
Music. Let's call Google Voice. Let's call that Mexican. Let's call Pete MC. Yeah, and that drunk Canadian. Oh, maybe I'll call 708-469-546. Suck on my balls. Just suck my fucking balls. Right. 708-406-9546. All right, we got a few voicemails to answer. We're going to answer them all in the free binge this week. We'd like to split it up and answer half in the free binge, the other half in the full binge, but we're going to do it all right here in the free binge. The first number is a 971 number, and let's listen to it.
What's going on, guys? Really good times here. Just calling in because I just can't take the pain against Jim Law. I meant to call in actually before this last show, but I forgot. Probably because I got drunk, but look, I get that argument was dumb as shit on the twisty tourney, but Jim Law was 100% correct. Like, that movie is not at all about whether it's real or not. It's all about, like, is he doing the right thing or not, right? Yeah, he's crazy. We get that, but, like, you're stuck there inside the room with him, and everyone's trying to escape him, right? Because he's saying, don't go out there because you're going to die. That's all you're focused on. Is it real or not? And then, surprise, after they get out, yeah, it actually, there was a reason that he was trying to keep them in there. That is totally before the movie. Jim Law, or fucking Pete, Alex, you're wrong. I'm on your side, Jim Law. Peace.
Yeah, you started this whole thing by saying that you were drunk as fuck. Go fuck yourself. Fucking drunk.
Jack, did you listen to that show?
Yeah.
I'm waving a $10 bill right now.
Sure. Sure, sure.
What's your opinion on that twisty-turny?
Opinion on whether it is a twist or whether it's a good twist?
I think the argument was whether it was a twist.
No, it's not a twist. It's a reveal. It's a great reveal.
I think that's what our that's what my side of the argument was.
I think it's a phenomenal reveal because I think for a twist it has to be contrary to the information that you're being led down the path of what you think it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whereas a reveal is more just now you have all the information and you know this is a thing. So I think that's the distinction.
Yeah.
Still, I love that movie.
Yeah. So absolutely. Well, wrong, right? What you're saying? That's what you're saying.
What?
Well, yeah.
Moving on.
Also, it was never about like whether that should or shouldn't have been in the bracket. It absolutely should have. But when it came down to it, and also it was the first round that argument happened, which is fucking just shows how stupid and drunk we were.
Listen, I agree with Law's argument on that up to a point, but I had to state my case.
That's an interesting one though, because I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm sitting in a room with the two of you, but I understand why it was there, because it feels
no, twisty. Me too.
It but does feel twisty, but it's a reveal of information. It's not really a. it's not a refuting of information that's been given.
Yeah.
It'd be a good full binge. Just talk about twist versus reveal. Figure that out. Finally, once and for all. thanks, Bruce, you fucking dick. All right, 551 number coming up. Let's do it.
What's up, binge boys? TM here.
Yeah.
Monday, November 1st. Merry Christmas, boys.
Yes.
Let the holiday season begin. Gonna be rocking Christmas music from now until Christmas night. Pete, I know you're ready. Let's fucking do this, man.
Yeah, all right,
so
Christmas
little reaction to some of the hot topics of October. Midnight Mass. Sat on my cell phone on 10. Oh my God, Law, I'm worried about you, Law. I don't understand. I mean, Carrie and I watched the whole series. I fell asleep during episode 6. Didn't care to rewatch it, although I did. And then episode 7, the finale, I was on my phone the whole time. How many long-ass, drawn-out, snooze, single-actor monologues, I guess that's what a monologue is, well, how many of those do you have to sit through?
Can you go back to that, bro?
Before you shift that, let's fucking get to it. How many long-ass, drawn-out, snooze, single-actor monologues, I guess that's what a monologue is,
Nice job.
You have to sit through before you just say, let's fucking get to it already. I mean, this show could have been 4 fucking episodes. It should have just been the priest doing all his sermons. I'm not going to spoil it. I don't know if everybody's watched it yet, but so disappointed in the way this show turned out. Started off with potential, and I think this just really flopped. Again, but the priest was excellent. Even his plot line and the way that ended, that was satisfying to me. I absolutely loved it. And I'm thrilled that they closed him out correctly. Riley and the pregnant girl. Oh, God, terrible actors. They had no chemistry on screen. And it was just every scene they were on, they both had to give a monologue like to each other. Terrible. Hated it. 4 on 10. And the 4 is for the priest, and everybody else gets a 0. Now, Halloween Kills. Carrie and I chose to watch this Halloween night. Cell phone in the other room. Lights off, the whole 9. I wish we would have went to the theater. I think we made a mistake not doing so. Carrie really liked it. I had a lot of the same negative reviews. I just went back and listened to you guys all reviewing, and I had the same problems, Law, that you had with the movie, and Pete, everything that you ripped on, it's like I was thinking about it, literally thinking about the stuff that you were saying about the film, and 100% agree, as he's coming down.
Oh, well.
Yeah, he called back.
Oh.
All right, I'm back. what I was saying is when Michael Myers is coming down the stairs, and that dude's head is in between the canister. Come on. Me kicked that shit right off of his body. That is exactly what I was thinking. I said it out loud to my wife. Would have been epic. And I would have liked to have seen his dad get murdered in the attic stair situation there. I mean, that body, I believe, was just found there. I wonder if they cut that death out or... I don't know. Sorry, I'm driving. So I agree with a lot of what you guys said, and of course the kills are fucking awesome, but I don't think it was a very good movie. I could not give that an 8 on 10. I mean, it has to be like a 6. But I am excited for the 3rd one. But again, I think if we would have went to the theater, I would have a different, because I loved 2018, and that was in the theater, and so. I guess that's it. I really need a new show at this point. Finishing up Lasso. I'm going to do Kin. But that's like a solo show. I need a couple show. We're rocking Succession and Curb, obviously, the best two things on TV right now. And then we're going to be watching Dexter because my wife is a fan. And, just trying to hang out with you guys right now, but I don't really have anything much else. So, guess I'll see you guys later. Maybe in person sometime soon. I don't know. We're going to Palooza again.
Missed the boat there.
About it.
Oh, fuck.
I fucking love you, Jon Snow. I fucking love you, Jon Snow.
It's beautiful.
Imagine looking over and fucking Tom singing like that in his car. It's fucking amazing.
We hung out with Tom today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we basically got a live version of that voicemail.
Yep.
And here's what I'll say, Tom. I said it to you, and Law, you'll appreciate this, about what to watch next, because it was up to Dexter or Ken, and I said, get up in those guts of Ken.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Get up in those guts.
Why is Dexter even fucking, what the fuck?
Yeah. The women love Dexter. My wife, too. She's all about it. She's been dying. She's had it marked on her calendar for months, ever since they announced they were doing it. All about it. I don't get it. Don't fucking get it.
Mm-mm.
But whatever.
Nope.
Fuck.
Yeah, all right. One I'm going to have to.
I'm going to have to check out Dexter when it comes back.
Oh, just you are definitely going to do that in between bomb scares.
Yeah. If there's not, see how many bomb scares we have that week.
Right.
Last voicemail, Law. Here we go. 320 number.
What up, BingeCast? It's your boy, the Duke, and I'm calling in with a TV review. If you are a part of Patreon and a $5 member, you would have seen in the Discord that I've already started talking about this show a little bit. So, plug for the boys. Get on Patreon, $5 a month. Get exclusive content, commentaries, etc. More PMCs. What more can you ask for? Anywho, I've been watching Dope Sick. It's a Hulu original. And I know you boys have talked about it a little bit earlier. And as Morena Alex has stated in the Discord too, it just looked a little too depressing for him. But I'll start out with, it does get a little depressing. But this cast is fan-fucking-tastic. You guys can look it up and list some of the other names. But you got Rosario Dawson, Michael Keaton, the kid from Where the Millers. I can't think of it. He's really good in it. And the guy from, he was in Fargo, and he was in Your Honor. Fargo. He was the lead mob boss guy.
Guy
is just fantastic. Just the cast is brilliant. Just look it up. You can pause right now. List some of the names.
Okay.
And Big Pharma. This show kind of has a close connection to my heart, as my dad was dealing with stuff in the early 2000s. They overprescribed him on OxyContin and actually became, addicted to it. And they had him on high levels of OxyContin. And just the show is really unique in the timeline. It goes from, the beginning of it to when they're attorneys are trying to go after him, and it's kind of back and forth, and just really how addictive the drug is and how they prescribed it and FDA and how doctors just listen. It's just crazy. I highly recommend checking it out. Give it the good old PMC. I think you'll stick around just for the acting alone. It's mid-season right now. I'm sitting at a solid 8. We'll see how it ends. But check it out. Dope Sick on Hulu.
Dope Sick.
Yeah, Pete, you mentioned this a few weeks ago.
The cast, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll fucking do it if you guys want to be Dope Sick buddies.
I don't think so.
Just set the flophouse together, getting fucking whacked out on oxys, watching Michael Keaton and Rosario Dawson, my future ex-wife.
Oh, shit.
I can give it an app. But
I might have some extra room after this week, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll definitely give it an up. Keaton, for sure.
Keats,
for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Alrighty.
Do a little, Teeves?
Yeah. Thanks for everybody for calling. 708-406-9546. We get a little Teeves. And we get a couple of new Sounders Law.
Uh-oh.
Pospino Gisla. Let's do it.
Let's hear it.
Something, so I'm told. Is it really TV round of time? Is the tap out button making noise tonight? Is it really TV round of time? Cause if my eyes don't deceive me, there's something worth tapping out here.
I mean, come on.
I mean, bravo. It was funny.
Wow.
Holy fuck, that was amazing.
TV roundup. All right.
I only got two things.
About HBO these days, so same.
Yeah, I got those two things. I also got Big Mouth came back on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Fourth season?
Fifth, I think. Fifth?
Yeah, I don't know what season it is, but holy fuck, the first episode of this season is one of the most vulgar, inappropriate fucking things I've ever watched, and I loved every second of it. They basically do a fucking, they call it No Nut November. They want to see who can stop jerking off for the whole month of November. It's just like the Seinfeld episode, and they make, like, they have a huge scene where they reference the Seinfeld episode, and it's just fucking extraordinary how uncomfortable you can feel watching this show. It's fucking, it really is, because they're just fucking kids, and it's just, but you, what helps is you know the voices, right? Like,
yeah.
You can tell, like, it's fucking John Mulaney and fucking, what's his name, Shear, and it's just, that makes it fucking bearable, because they just go to levels that South Park can only dream of going. It's unbelievable, man. But this first episode was unbelievable. I fucking laughed the entire episode. And I watched 5 of the 10. The next 4 weren't as good, but it's still fucking, it's just so easy to watch. It's a half hour. They cram as many fucking vulgar jokes as they can in a half hour. And I don't know, man. It's just, it's fucking great. I love this show so much.
Nice. I didn't go back to season 2.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't know, like, it just felt like it was being repetitive. And I didn't... I don't think so.
Like, I don't think they're in a different grade. Like, you know what I mean?
They're
all, I don't know. It's just, I mean, but so they're getting pubic hair now, so maybe they are growing. It's fucking weird.
All right. Now that's a funny sentence just out of context.
I think it might also be a very clean drop, just saying
that. All right. Yeah, and it's 5 seasons. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's just a fucking blast.
Any new voices? Any new voice talent in this season that you've noticed so far?
I didn't notice. I don't know. They have, who the fuck? Like, they have, like, celebrities that come on, you know what I mean? And I don't know if they actually use their voice. Nathan Fillion is a character. He's a poster. He's the guy that one of the girls jerks off to. but he's just a poster in a room, but he talks to her all the time. So I don't know if he actually does his own voice. I can't see him actually doing that, but it's just fucking hilarious. Oh my god. Anyways, yeah, I'll be finishing that next week for sure. I know you did last summer, the penultimate episode.
Uh-huh. How's that going?
It's fucking, I'm fucking into it. I don't want to be into it, but I'm into it. I want to see what the fuck, how this shit ends. I'm not gonna lie, it takes a long time to get fucking up to date on what's going on here.
Yeah.
And, once you figure it all out, it's easy, and you're engaged at that point, and like I've been harping the last couple weeks, it's so much more brutal than the movies ever even came close to, and it's just fucking, it's a decent mystery when it comes down to it. I don't know what the fucking end game is going to be here, and I want to see. Yeah. So I'm there for that one last episode.
All right. Would they have been better off with a remake movie or the TV show?
No. No, I like the way they're doing this. I like it. I like their freedom, basically, of being able to just fucking
be brutal.
Yeah, go nuts. Yeah. It's a lot more fun than if this was a reboot. It would be it'd be watered down. It would, you know. All right. So I got an unprecedented fucking triple tap out.
I got the sounder at the ready, my friend.
Here you go.
I've never, I never thought this was possible, but I stopped watching Chucky. Okay, so I know what you did last summer won the fucking 90s horror TV reboot fucking battle. Chucky's done. I just, this is boring to me. Thank you.
Got it.
Thank you. And then I have, now this, even this is unprecedented, because I have the double Apple TV back-to-back tap out. I started watching Invasion, Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when you said you watched Invasion?
Yes, sir.
I made it 5 episodes into Invasion.
Whoa.
And we still haven't fucking... We just found out... Or, sorry, not we. The people in the show just found out that it's an invasion.
Yes.
On episode 5.
Fuck that.
Thank you.
After episode 1.
Oh, my
fuck
God.
That show.
Thank you.
Rough show. Jesus.
Well, that's a rough sentence. And sadly, the last one is The Foundation.
Yeah.
I just have fallen too far off of it. I don't even care whenever Sexy Brother is in a scene at this point, Moreno. I can't even care what he's talking about. It just means nothing to me. I want the Warden 100% of the time. If the show was just about them and battling for fucking territory and planets and worlds and whatever the fuck, that storyline is engaging. Everything else, they're trying to get too deep with this fucking ideology, this I don't know, man. It's just, it's too thematic for me. It can't hold my attention anymore.
I don't even know, like, what the ending of the season arc would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many fucking balls in the air. I love the balls in the air. Fuck you. Don't timestamp that. But then there was like younger brother who's like with a chick and hitting on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not good. It's not good.
So I'm on,
I don't know.
I'm on the third episode of Foundation. I paused it because I did the 31 horror movies.
Yeah.
I wonder, I don't know how many episodes this season is. Law, do you have any idea how many it goes?
I will tell you in 1 second.
Because I'm almost thinking that that kind of show, that kind of story, that may be a case of like the binging of it makes it a little better because there's so much happening.
Maybe. 10. It goes to 10.
10. What are they on, 8?
The 8 just aired Friday, yes.
All right. So I think I'm probably going to finish that season because I've already invested the 3-4 hours,
definitely.
You know.
I got to see how this
ends. But yeah, I mean, I just know that that is a lot like Dune. It's supposed to be like one of the great unfilmable stories.
Yeah.
So I wonder if part of that is like season 1, they just got to do a lot of table setting, you know.
Oh, so this is actually based on old material, like Dune, you're saying?
Foundation is one of the great sci-fi
Asimov novels.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Foundation is a pretty big deal in, like, this, you know, sci-fi circles or whatever. But maybe that's part of it, you know?
Yeah. Because it's rough. Yeah. It's rough. I think Dune played better in movie format for me then. Because if I was to get 10 episodes of Dune, I don't know if I'd be fucking up for it. Because that needed to be compressed. You know what I'm saying? It fucking moved swiftly enough to the next scene for me to be still engaged.
Yeah, you'd have fucking one episode of Timothy Chalamet trying to pull his hand out of the Gobbles bar.
Yeah, that would be like a whole episode. Just fucking... What's in the box?
Yeah,
think,
what's in the box?
Why I think it might have been. There's a fucking Dune miniseries. I think episode 1 is like the box.
Oh Jesus. God.
Jesus Christ.
That old bitch just being like, put your hand in my box.
So Laura, an Apple TV.
It's got double meaning. The whole episode title is double meaning.
Yeah.
loves it. Well, this week, and I think we're gonna do a tap out together, like a non-watch tap out. A teaser for Servant's new season. Are we attempting that? Or are we done?
I think we made a blood pact, Pete. We're not going back.
Okay. All right.
You want to go back, don't you?
Well,
I knew he did.
The wife wants to do it, right? So it's like it could be a.
Well, then you're doing it.
Yeah, maybe.
If Jess wants to do it, I'll do it too. But I she was more mad than I was when we were watching it, so I don't think she wants to do it.
All right. Cool. We'll see what happens.
But if you're gonna watch it, you let me know. Things are tap back inable, right? Is that a thing?
Tapping back in, yeah, sure. So I mean, there's no sounder for it, but
we can make.
Well, we'll have to get one if it happens.
I'm tapping in.
Yeah
just in. We just yell over Tom Sounder. Same one. And. Well, you know what? I'll wait for a real trailer to come out for Servant, and I'll watch that, and I'll base it on that.
Okay.
There's something engaging in that trailer.
I'm living through you for this because I have no interest in it.
Good deal.
I think I'm just like forever tapped out of Shyamalan at this point. I think I'm done.
Yeah, you're allowed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. That's justified.
Absolutely.
You got me with the old.
Yeah. What else you got, Law?
Three tap outs.
I believe that's it. The triple tap out took a lot out of me.
I love it. I love being on the other side of a tap out. It makes It's fantastic.
How does it feel?
It feels great. It feels like I'm not the only fucking moron just tapping out of shit.
And I just got the HBO fucking double feature. Let's
HBO
do it.
Sunday nights, baby.
Maybe Jack, you got something else besides the two?
Honestly, it's just those two.
Yeah. You know? Alex, same.
Same. Skis.
All right, moving on. What'd you miss? What'd you watch this week?
Do you want to talk about it or
absolutely.
What's going on?
What do we do first?
I don't know. I just thinking about like recording the binge cast and a show like Succession. It's kind of hard to talk about that week to week other than just like what's the funny shit that Roman and Shiv said to each other.
Well,
Greg was weird and so was Tom and then they had a scene together.
But
you know what? We should be doing commentaries for this.
I agree. Because it's better to like just get into the nitty gritty scene by scene.
In the moment.
And picking those moments out. Rather than like, or as opposed to like on the binge cast, we wait one day and then it's like, yeah, and then Brian Cox told people to fuck off and.
That was cool.
It's so repetitive. And I just, we were talking about it at dinner. Like, I just hope it doesn't go past like. 5 seasons. I don't want this to go that long because it is repetitive, though. There's no like suspense to it or anything. We just like these people just being shitty to each other,
right? And I mean, the issues that they do bring up, they're all going to have a resolution, like a defined resolution. Like shit is going to be happened. Shit is going to be settled at some point. So how long can they string that out, really?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that makes it dynamic from like a watching standpoint. Obviously, the script's great. Obviously, the characters are great. But there's also, like, legitimate filmmaking shit going on. Like after Shiv gets embarrassed, right, talking in front of the crowd, there's this shot that they have where she's walking down a hallway, and there's the reflection of the city skyline on the left, and she walks into that, and the camera pans, and they're in an office. But it's almost like she was forced to walk off a cliff, essentially, and be embarrassed in front of the company.
Hmm.
But, like, visually, it's fucking great. You know? Great stuff.
That's commentary-worthy, though, right?
I think
that's,
so,
that's when you bring that up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never played any fucking side-scrolling platforms.
Hey!
So I don't know what you're talking
about. That's Jack!
That's that dude!
But, that, I mean... I think it would, you know, it's doable. We're all watching it. Like, we could all fucking tap in and out. Like, you know what I mean? I think we could do a com for it. We haven't done a com in a while.
It's been a while for TV comms.
We could do it.
We could figure that out. We'll figure that out. I think Succession's worth it. It's, I mean, there's a lot of shit on quote-unquote TV right now, but for me, there's just nothing better than Succession right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entertaining every week. All the performances are great.
Yeah.
Situations are great. Even, like, I have a couple of fantasy football groups.
Hey, Bragger Day.
Hey, now. And all of us are even, like, hey, did you see Succession? Yeah, it was fucking great. Oh, don't spoil it. Haven't seen it yet. You know, I mean, it's just, like, it's in the zeitgeist. It is the show right now.
Yeah. We should start a fucking fantasy Succession league. See who's going to get the...
I'm drafting Kendall round one.
Oh, my God.
I want Shiv.
I want Shiv. Outside of the fantasy league.
Oh, shit.
Hey. Okay, inside of the fantasy league.
Oh, my God.
I just want to see Kendall fail over and over and over again. That is the thing that does keep me... I like the Kendall voice, too. Ooh.
Yes. Well, I love... the thing I love about Kendall is how he is such a fake fucking, like... poser millennial douchebag.
Yeah.
All the time.
Ugh.
You know, they're sitting in the back of a truck. He's like, I just want you to be plugged in and, you know, like, be my fucking lifeline and tell me my shit. And then Cousin Greg's just like, yeah, okay, that's great. So, like, what exactly do you mean by everything that you told me?
One of my favorite moments in the show, well, Kendall moments is in the show, is the episode where he's trying to get the shoe line. Mm-hmm. And it's the first or second season. You saw it, like, mm-hmm. recently. So.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the underground party,
yep.
Which I want to go to that party.
Yeah.
Through the subway?
Yeah. And then the chick is just like, look, like, you're just fucking bad.
You're too much.
You're bad news.
Yeah,
bad news, dude.
Yep.
Like, you think you're this fucking, like, super woke dude.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're just a fucking douchebag.
I mean, what's he saying that, is it the first or the second episode? Or maybe it was this episode. When they're all meeting, and he says something like, yeah, we just need to detoxify our brand, and then we'll go supersonic. It's like, the fuck does that mean?
You're just saying words.
The fuck does that mean?
You're just saying words, and none of it makes any sense.
What an asshole.
It has no meaning behind it.
That's a whole show for me.
It's a show I watch every week, and I pull for absolutely nobody in it.
Yep.
Which is not that dissimilar to the other
it's,
awesome
it's really
show
not,
on HBO.
Yeah.
Which we should do commentaries for.
Which
we
should
probably
do commentaries for. This.
Me and Tom will do the Curb commentaries.
Oh, that would be fucking fun to listen to.
Yeah,
just,
it would.
Oh my God.
You would pause it every fucking 15 seconds. Oh my God, I've been in that situation and I did that.
There's a lot of me in the last two episodes. I'm like, God damn it, this happened to me this week.
We had a discussion about Jeff Garland. Tonight, just the Burger King line was just
God. I fucking almost passed out. It was just so out of nowhere. It was the perfect answer too. Like, it's just, it was so fucking amazing, man.
It's fucking great, and it's a fast edit too.
Yeah.
They cut to him Burger King, and he's out.
I love how horrible. Like, I get it. His wife's the literal worst human being on the planet. But just how horrible Jeff is, like, he had an affair and fucking got a girl pregnant and paid for her abortion, and it's just glossed over in the
right.
episode, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not important at
it's
all.
It's just for no. Larry. It's just for Larry to get in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
That's fucking hilarious, man. Like, and he's the most unassuming guy, like, you know what I mean? Like, who the fuck is gonna have an affair with Jeff?
But I mean, it's also fucking hilarious when they're talking to Dylan O'Brien. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, so which one of my roles did you love? And he's like, oh, the one with the boat. He's like, the boat, I love the boat.
And the cooking.
Did you have the one where you made the fettuccine Alfredo?
In the kitchen. The one where you were in the kitchen.
There was no boat, there was no kitchen, you know?
Oh, so dumb. So dumb, but so fucking amazing. You're right. These commentaries. Pete and Tom commentaries for this would be fucking incredible.
Do we get the green light?
Oh, yeah.
Green light it, baby.
Oh,
green light.
Tell Tom right now. Tom, guess what? Tom's right here. No, I'm kidding. He's not here.
Oh, God damn it.
Nice.
Yeah, those would be fucking amazing. I feel like the episode will end, and you guys will still talk for 45 minutes about the episode.
I want to hear that shit. All
right, and Succession we'll figure out too, because I'm totally understanding what Alex is saying. It's not a show to break down every week, like in summary. It's a show to fucking talk about while you're watching it, and just get the intricacies and fucking just all the little fucking shit that you might miss when you talk about it at like on a weekend.
Yeah, because in terms of like the season, episode to episode, three episodes in, I think.
Yeah.
The actual meat of the plot is fucking inching by. But it's all like wall dressing. We like watching that shit.
Right.
But, you know, what happens legally and all that is just going by at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
And not that we're there for that part of it. But it's still like, it's hard to recap every week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait till we do the commentaries for both of these shows. Then we talk about, then we just don't even do TV Roundup. Listen to our commentaries this week.
Yeah, that's it. We just hand out links. Smash that like button. Move on.
Pretty much.
All right.
All right.
We got a little podcast roundup. If we want to do a little podcast roundup.
Oh,
podcast
yes, we do.
Yeah. Got a little something. Law, wanted to bring this up with you on the podcast because I know you're a big fan of, of comedy in general, SNL, the comedy world, right? So, found this podcast. It was recommended to me. And I think it's right up your alley. It's called Good One, a podcast about jokes, okay?
Oh.
So the thing I really like about this podcast is it's all over the map. So I don't know who the host is now that I think about it, but it's the same guy every show. And he's pretty connected. I've listened to the shows with John Mulaney talking specifically about the Sack Lunch Bunch. He's talked to Taika Waititi about Thor Ragnarok. He did one with Bo Burnham about his Kanye rant in one of his specials. It's like one of the best podcast finds I've had in a long time.
He did a Velez one, right?
He did one with Ricky Velez recently. And it's all over the map. It's all over the comedy world. But the shows do a deep dive on like one specific joke and then use that to have the conversation around everything else to do with the guy.
That sounds incredible. Artist.
The Bill Burr one is phenomenal. They're all great. I know this is right up your alley. I know it's up Pete and Alex's alley, but especially like the other bingers too. This has become a regular listen for me, and it's even exposed me to comedians I didn't know about too. But really, really solid. I definitely would implore you to, maybe subscribe to it and then look at the backlog and download the guys that you know or the girls that you know.
How many, like, where is it? Like, how many episodes are we in?
It's been going on for a few years now.
Really? Okay.
I think the earliest episode that I've heard is maybe from 2018, but it might even go back a little further. But really, really solid, really cool perspective. And the show mostly has, like, a pretty, not like a rigid format, but, you know, they'll talk about the one joke, they'll play the joke up front, and then they'll talk about, like, how they came up with it or where they heard a certain part of the story or whatever. There was one of the great ones too. Jeff Garland, actually. They do one with Jeff Garland where Jeff Garland didn't want to talk about a specific joke that he told, but in the conversation ends up describing one of the jokes that he used for his movie. And in that, he says he explains the joke. He tells all about it, where the funny pieces came in, where the ideas came from. And then the guy says, well, like, so how much of that story is true? And he says, 0%. None of that ever happened. But it's just, like, really cool to see how he pieced together the bits of the joke to figure out what was funny and all that stuff. But, like, really cool show. Nuts and bolts comedy stuff. But I think it's, like, absolutely right in your wheelhouse. So.
Sounds amazing.
I love that it's called Good One.
Good One.
Good One. Great podcast. Strong recommendation.
Awesome! I can't wait.
Showcase the bit for the episode, that comedian is on the episode and explain it.
Correct.
Oh, that's awesome.
They usually obviously some episodes stray a little bit, but you know they start the episode with the bit, and then sometimes the bits are a little more physical, so they'll explain like, hey, if you really want to see what this is about, go watch the movie, go watch this show. But, like, the one for Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave, they do the fucking the sketch with the Cuban guy from the focus group, you know. And then they talk on stage with him and Tim Robinson and talk about how they came up with the sketch and how, you know,
a
all
small
the stuff
steering
done.
Wheel that doesn't fall
right,
when you're driving.
Right, right. Stinky, you know, all that shit. So.
All right. Fuck, definitely in.
I saw that. I just saw fucking Pete hover over the tapping out fucking sounder.
Oh my god!
What?
On his board.
Not for the podcast.
Well, because we were talking about Tim Robinson and I think we should leave.
Oh god damn it!
Law. I seen it.
Has that ever happened? Has that ever happened to you where somebody hovered over the tap out button but they didn't actually push it and they were gonna push it? Has that ever happened to you?
Is that the joke? Is that the joke?
Do any of these fucking motherfuckers hover over the tapo button and splooge on your fucking neck when they're calling out to their fucking mother? Does that ever happen?
Look, I don't want anybody to have the worst podcast in their life.
You can't just skip pee breaks.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
Oh, that's the best. So much better. All right, I got to piss. Should we do a pee break now or later?
Let's do it.
We could do a long one now.
Long one.
You want to do a long one now? Do you want to play new pee break sounder or later?
We'll do it when we come back.
Okay.
So we can
hear
it.
That's right. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, here we go.
You're waving your farts away? Fucking son of a bitch.
A long sounder so that they can fucking pee. Maybe this one will be quicker than the last. Law can't remember if the last time he pissed himself for the toilet, but he knows these bottles fill up fast. And it's one more bong hit for Emma. Taking a piss outside with Bigfoot. If you think they need to check the prostate, they probably should. Ba 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 ba. Law's in the bathroom, probably sometime after 13 beers. Thought he had to pee, guess what came next? I guess the liquor makes you pee a little longer, makes your bowels a little softer. Now Law's taking surprise pooch. Holy shit, it's been a long sounder. Where the fuck could they be?
Cancel.
Thought that this piss would be quicker than the
also
last.
This.
We can't remember the times we had to break for a bourbon. Good
listen
or bad,
this.
That's the bench cast.
Listen to this.
It's all over myself.
And it's one more bong hit for Emma. Taking a piss outside with Bigfoot.
Listen to this.
Can you guess where you put a tiny house at?
Remix.
Star Wars.
So duty.
So duty.
I can't. Whether I'm shitting or fucking burping, I'm just so aggressive about it. Like, why is it so angry all the time?
That's what Michelle wants to know.
Inside the Farner studio.
He's so mad about it.
Listen to this.
Listen to this. Like, you're so fucking, like, you have to control the room and everything.
Listen to this.
Right, wait, It sounds like he has a fart in a headlock.
Listen to this. Also this.
Where's the other one? God damn it.
Listen, the other one's the most aggressive one, I think.
Listen to this.
Listen to this.
Oh my god. That's why they thought it was a bomb at your fucking back.
Listen to this.
They're like, oh no. Schedules are getting cut. Vaccination mandate. No, it's just law farted and fucked everybody up. No.
Oh my god.
That's the cause. It's law farted. Not any of that shit.
Oh, so angry.
Alex sent in a new P-Break sounder. Should we listen to it while we're all back from our P-Break?
Absolutely.
Here we go.
You want a pee break, Sean? I need to pee at least. You guys.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I have a suggestion. Can we do a quick pee break?
Yes! Have you got the pee break or do I got the pee break?
I can do it. You got it or?
I got it. Here we go.
Now, the piss in all the bottles rises high. But nothing hides the sound it makes when it hits your thigh. It'll dry in just no time. Pissing on your thigh. Pissing now. Bitch cast all night. Drinking high life. We are pissing now.
I mean, wow.
Bitch cast all night. Mike's on time.
Who wants to chime in?
Round up TV and review some flicks tonight.
Probably.
Did Fudges have a poop surprise?
Yummy.
Get the balls tonight. Pissing now.
Tickling pickles and shit.
The bitch cast all night.
Fuck your mother.
Drinking highlights.
Hey, girl.
Ooh, can I get back first? Nice.
You just beat me. God damn it.
No, I didn't just beat you. I've been here for about 5 minutes. No, I'm just
kidding. Holy fuck.
Yes, dude.
Oh, that's
how did you find like every single time we ever uttered the word piss on the podcast like, and put it into that one song? That was amazing.
You just have to scroll to whenever we play music. Right before that, someone's talking about taking a piss. I hate to peel back the curtain, Law, but that's
Oh, boy.
Yes. All right, I got a couple. I have two things to talk about before we move on.
Okay.
I want to piggyback the fucking podcast roundup. Mm-hmm. This is something that I never talked about when I listened to it. Homecoming. This is it's one of those fucking like casted storylines. You know what I mean? It's not. Okay. It's like a play, basically, like an audio play. Mm-hmm. This is actually what the TV show was based on with Julia Roberts. You guys know that show?
No. Yeah. Was it the second season Janelle Monáe?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know. I just remember seeing Julia Roberts was in a show called Homecoming. I didn't even put these together until afterwards I looked up the TV show, and it was actually based on this. So the cast of this podcast is Catherine Keener, Oscar Isaac, David Schwimmer, David Cross, and Amy Sedaris.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so that... Jess's brother told me about this because I had offered up some audiobooks that he should listen to by narrator. And he's like, oh, you should watch this if you like... I like graphic audio, basically. I just listened to the whole entire run of The Boys all on graphic audio. And the difference between an audiobook and graphic audio is it's... Everyone's played by a different actor, right? There's sound effects. Okay. There's... Okay. Yeah, like, it's like a fucking... They literally call it a movie for your mind. Like, you know what I mean? It's just played out. So it's basically what I do with movies at work anyways when I'm not looking at them.
Yeah.
So... yeah, Homecoming's about, it's basically about these people that run kind of a rehabilitation clinic for people recently out of the war. And Oscar Isaac is one of these admitted into the clinic. And Catherine Keener is his kind of like caseworker. And it just, it's like a mystery. There's some shady shit going on in the clinic. And it's all about the fucking treatment that they're giving these officers. And it's fucking, it's pretty interesting. I was really fucking involved in this. I fucking banged it out in like a week. So it was, I had a little bit of interest in the show when I heard about it because I like Julia Roberts and I thought, oh, she's doing TV. That's a big deal. I should watch it. But I never did. But I might now. I don't know. I might. But this was good.
Do you know what network the show is on? I'll look it up.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It's just called Homecoming or The Home?
Homecoming. No, Homecoming. Homecoming.
Hulu, maybe? Was it Hulu?
Yeah, it might have been Hulu.
I think the first season was Julia Roberts. I want to say second season was Janelle Monáe, but I don't know anything about the show outside of that. I have no idea what it was about or whatever.
Yeah.
I think, actually, Lance from The Horror Returns recommended the show to me a few years back, now that I think about it. Never picked it up, but yeah, interesting.
All right. Well, TM, you needed a show. Maybe in the very least, listen to a podcast. Homecoming.
There you go.
Pretty interesting. Pretty good. Yeah. And the second thing I want to talk about was the release of The Verb.
Oh.
This needs to be covered. I don't know how much detail we want to get into here, but it was the Verb Reversary.
Sure it was.
At the beginning, when was it? The end of October? Is that the Verb Reversary?
End of September.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We missed
it. And then we were toying with, should we do it? Should we do it? Should we release it? Because we've had this in the bag for quite a long time. This was originally being held back for a special Lollapalooza presentation.
Correct.
But, you know, COVID.
Blame COVID.
So it was just sitting there, like literally just sitting there. And we just felt like it needed to be released. So this past week, Pete says, hey, it's fucking Garrett's birthday. What better gift do we have than to release the video where he becomes the Cloverfield monster?
You know what my favorite part of this is? I don't think that he's made a comment nor reference to the fact it was released.
Well, he's seen it. He's seen it, right, Pete?
Yeah, we got his blessing.
Yeah. He gave the okay, so.
At that point, we're good.
Yeah, I got, he said it was all good. I'm like, you sure? Yep.
So... Law, I'm glad you brought this up because it gives us a chance to talk about our having seen it, right?
And the premiere, the official premiere, yeah.
Correct. Which was it was quite a hit. It was one of those things where I feel like a lot of the work that we do at Binge Media, we put it out to the people get to hear it. There's not a whole lot that happens that the listeners don't get
right
to view, right?
Right.
And it didn't even occur to me until this was released. But this is like one thing where, a few of us knew it was there.
Yeah.
And it was nice to, be able to watch the reaction to it.
Yeah.
Having known what was coming.
Yeah.
What was going to happen. And just kind of see the reaction. I know Nate P was excited. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. So the last Lollapalooza in Chicago when we were all together is we're all back at Alex's house and we're fucking like it's after the show, right, Pete? Was it that night or was it I don't know which night it was. Was it after the show?
It's
I think feel it was, like it probably was.
I think it was.
It's possible, yeah.
Because I think
because everyone the most, was there.
Because it had to be before the Fruck thing.
Yes. It had to be a night where we were all
right. We were all there. Yeah.
How did I remember that? And I was blacked out during that.
Oh, we were, like, everyone was hammered. Like, we were having such a great time and everything. All this is what I remember it so specifically, though, because we were all having this fucking amazing time, and Pete is just starts yelling at everybody to fucking sit down because we're watching something.
That's right.
And I'm just like, the fuck? Why are we watching TV? Like, I don't want to watch TV right now.
Hold on. Look, before you say that, let me just tell you my perspective on this, because mine starts like a couple minutes before.
Okay.
And it's myself and Kupka, and I want to say maybe PJ. I'm trying to piece this together. Kupka and I sitting in our chairs outside of Alex's place, having a cigar, having a little something-something, just melting into our seats, just having a time. And all of a sudden, we get noticed, I think maybe from Pete, I think it might have even been Michelle who came out and said, hey, something's going to happen here. Why don't you go ahead and, you know, get yourself inside? It took a lot of effort to get out of that chair. I'm so glad that I did, but I just want it to be known it wasn't an easy thing to do.
I can believe it.
I have a little bit of a different memory on
that. Oh, okay.
You might.
You and me were the only ones that knew that this was happening that night, except and Michelle.
You're right.
You were helping me
gather
people, but that's get right. Alex's television to play this because we had to play this off of a certain server.
Right, because we were
Yes.
Now yes. I remember.
I had to do IT work.
Yeah. I'm conflating two things.
Yes.
But yes, I remember this.
And Alex was very angry that we were trying to watch
something. Yeah. Yes, that we were trying to put something on.
And I'm sweating. And I'm like, this is gonna pay off. I'll take the heat right now, but like
it was pretty hot. It was pretty hot. Me and Laws is yelling at you.
Only Michelle and Jack knew what was about to happen.
Because certain things were set up before.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking
dicks.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it was just, and then even when it just started with the normal Better Call Binge intro. So I'm like, we're just watching the Better Call Binge episode? I guess, okay. Like, I guess. You know,
hey,
like,
guys, you watched the episodes recently?
Hey, let's watch our own stuff again. We've already watched it, but let's do it again.
And then all of a sudden the title screen comes up, The Verp. And that's where I kind of like, I was just kind of like, did I see this one? I didn't know what was happening. Like, you know what I mean?
This was like a thank you, a surprise that Michelle and I did.
Awesome.
Because it was short. It wasn't as long as A Merry Fuck Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But then we extended with the after credit sequence.
And just to show even proof how more clueless Alex and I were, the second half of the episode is the Cloverfield trailer that Alex and I recorded parts for. Like, we actually sent in our voice for these parts. So even when he starts this big surprise, I still had no idea what was happening. Like, I was just like, and then I hear my own voice in the episode that I fucking recorded for the episode. I'm like, oh, that's what that was for. Okay.
Yeah, I sent you, Ammon, and Alex certain lines from the original Cloverfield trailer. I'm like, can you guys just, I'm working on a bit. Can you record these and send them back to me? Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Sneaky Pete.
You guys did great. You guys did great voice work.
Yeah, I think we watched it like 3 or 4 times in a row. It's because we were laughing so hard when it
I mean, as soon as Garrett burps, and we see him animated Verpy.
I think the thing for me that makes it is the Cloverfield bent arms.
Yes. Oh, the thing that makes it for me is the camera moving around.
Yeah.
It's chaotic. Yeah, right? You can't actually see him.
Could also be just the dick flopping in the
screen. Okay, giant
dick. Sorry about that. I got a story about that. So this past week, new homeowner, fucking getting shit fixed constantly. I get this old Polish dude who comes in to fucking fix my boiler. He installed a new boiler. He's down in the basement, and now he's fucking fixing. He's just tweaking shit. And the Verp drops. I'm like, great, fucking. He's like, Pete's like, we're gonna drop the Verp. I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. Throw it on Facebook. Throw it on YouTube. It's on. and I sit down in my living room, sit down at the couch, and I start watching it. So I'm watching it, and then this old Polish dude, his name is also Alex. He was very happy about that we both had the same name, by the way. He comes upstairs, and he's like, Alex? And I'm like, yeah. There's a giant animated dick on my screen. It's this old school Polish dude. Man's man comes up, and I'm just like, yeah. And he looks at the screen, and I go, yeah. What's up? Like, don't even acknowledge it. And I know he's just staring at an animated hairy cock and balls. Giant hairy cock and balls.
Yeah. Wait, what screen was he watching it on?
What do you mean?
I thought you said he came up and said...
It was on my TV.
He's telling you that it's on your TV?
No, no. He's looking at it as I'm watching it.
Oh, he's telling you what he's seeing that you're seeing also.
He's not telling me anything. He's
no, I thought
like,
you said, no, I'm all right, Spider.
He comes up from the the basement and is like, hey, Alex, you want to tell me something?
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, there's a giant fucking animated hairy cock and balls on the screen. And it's not how I want to converse with this old Polish guy at all.
He didn't say, like, wow, fuck. That's some sick animation. Nothing like that?
No, shockingly,
I mean,
no.
It's nothing he hasn't seen any before. I mean, he's installed a lot of boilers, dude.
I don't know,
man. Did he say, like, oh, shit, the new Better Call Binge is out?
Giant fan?
I love that Mary Fun Kill with Smeagol.
Is this an extra episode? This is amazing. Bonus app?
I love the Three Men and a Baby one. What the hell?
Huge goot guy. Huge goot guy.
I'm just standing there. He's looking over my shoulder at a fucking giant cock and balls on my screen. And I'm just like, yeah, bro. Yeah, what's up? What's up?
So he was there for the premiere, basically.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, we watched it. Basically, we watched it
lucky
together.
Lucky
him. What I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Did you charge him? You charge him for that view?
He charged me for it.
What?
I know. He's like, you know what? I gotta charge you for looking at this cock and balls. And I'm like, you know what? You're right.
It's fair.
I gave him, I cryptoed him.
Tough not to do. That episode is out.
So. Yeah, it's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. Binge Media. Check it out.
Oh, it's so much fun. If you've never heard the original Verp conversation, it's all there for you in animated glory.
I think that fucking Kupka's in it too. Just
Animated Kupka. It's hilarious.
Famine camping. I mean,
oh my god. Oh my god.
I love how concerned Ammon is. Are you okay? Are you alive?
Yeah.
So there's the only friend in that room. Garrett's only friend in that room is fucking Ammon. Alright, which is sad to say.
So another great detail of that, right? You hear the Verp a lot, and we get, you know, it's always funny, but you get used to it. You're like, okay, this is the Verp. Seeing how long it takes Garrett to recover and say real English words again.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking funny.
It's 4 years. 4 years. We still don't know what happened during that time.
No.
There's a very specific amount of time that we don't know what happened.
He just won't talk about it.
I say just talk about it, Garrett. What the fuck?
Just air out all the dirty laundry. You put out one show. You might have to edit it for 6 hours, but fucking whatever. You know, but just put it out there. The people want to know.
Oh, my God. It's so incredible. It's just so fucking incredible. Oh, my God. An amazing moment in Binge Media history right there.
Garrett, are you good?
Yeah.
I can't even talk. From the second it happens, though, like the second it happens, I am completely gone. Like, I'm done.
I can't wait to go back and listen to that sound. It sounded like he got hit by a monster.
Kupka just like breaking his setup, trying to say.
Yeah, he's falling over in his.
That's the thing that makes it more chaotic is that Kupka was the one to knock over his mic.
Right.
Because he was laughing so fucking hard. But it just sounds like chaos.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite shows. So I know where I was. It's like 9/11.
Right. Right. It's
like 4/10. 4/10. 4/10. Never forget. Never forget.
Before got 10.
Oh my god. Oh, shit. Holy fuck. Oh, Jesus. All right. Anyways, that is available for everybody to go check out. It's one of the greatest moments we've ever had. I do have one more question about TV Roundup. Pete, I thought we talked you into starting Kin last week. That didn't happen?
No, it didn't. I'll still give it a shot. I didn't tap out. I just didn't have the time this week. I had guests over.
But, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus Christ, Garrett. Everything all right?
I'm just saying I had people over the house. I didn't get to Kin.
All right. So, Jack, did you pause Kin also for 31 days?
I did. I'm getting back to it momentarily. Probably restart that this week. So.
Oh.
I loved episode one. I was very into it, and I was no complaints, no reason to stop. So it's just a matter of let's do the horror thing, and then we'll resume our regularly scheduled programming. So.
Yeah, because that show that you were on, you had brought to the table Kin and The Foundation. That's why I started watching both of them.
Yeah.
Kin is fucking incredible. Kin is, was fucking a good time.
I haven't heard anything bad about it, so I'm very excited to get back to it.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Pete, you gonna do that?
Yeah, I'm gonna do an episode. Yeah, I will. I'll give it a shot. Okay. Yeah.
You gonna Pete MC it?
Hey!
Well, Pete MC it means one episode, and then you fucking tap the fuck out. That's a Pete MC it.
Well,
so
you know.
We know what it means. Yep.
Stop!
Then I'll just give it. I'll give it my onesie, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, you get a onesie?
You got a onesie?
Yeah. Nice. Should we do what you watch?
Yep.
Here we go. We'll do a couple.
And I think he's gonna find himself online. Law's gotta watch all his movies tonight. He don't like to pay for that shit at all. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, what the fuck you watch? You watch Ten of Monadito Pen upon. I've been really trying, baby. Trying to walk this here movie for so long. And if you drink like I drink, baby, come on.
Cancel.
Oh, come on. Tell me what you watch. What the fuck you watch?
I didn't check out shit.
Long and ammo. What the fuck you watch?
Right now!
All right. The only thing I got this week are two screeners.
I got screeners. Screeners.
But Jack came a little prepared.
Okay.
So if... Oh, what do you got? Do you have anything first, or just screen is?
I just have The Harder They Fall on Netflix this week.
Oh, shit. Okay.
That shit dropped with a fucking huge cast.
Oh, really?
And I was, oh, yeah. Fucking, this is great. Lakeith Stanfield.
Nice.
Fucking Jonathan Majors.
Okay.
Regina King, Damon Wayans Jr., fucking Idris Elba. I was down just for the cast alone. Nice. And it's a Western. It starts out, typical Western fucking movie, but it's got a little flair to it, right? Let's say the soundtrack boosts this up to another level.
Okay.
Not everyone's going to love that, but I kind of actually liked it.
Law, before you go any further, I heard, I didn't hear much about this movie, but I heard Django comparisons. Is there anything to that?
Ooh,
like stylistically, kind of.
I mean, I guess. Yeah, sure. I mean, this, yeah, this isn't like a Clint Eastwood Western. You know what I mean? Like, this is, yeah, definitely more QT than fucking Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Like I'm saying, there's a flavor to this. You know what I mean? It's very fucking, I don't know how to say it. Like, it's very in your face, quick edits, loud sound effects, really fucking heavy on the soundtrack. But that sets up really good moments in this. Those moments are a little bit too far and few between. Like, there's a middle part here where it's just like a lot of fucking, a lot of discussion about the next move and what are we gonna do and who's gonna do that and how are we gonna do this, and I got a little long. But the beginning of this movie and the ending of this movie, which, by the way, now I know I harped on shootouts throughout my career on the podcast, the ending of this movie is like a 45-minute shootout.
Oh,
but at the point, you're into these characters, and it's not so much about how the shootout's going. It's about who's going to survive the shootout, and that's how you get a little bit wrapped up in this. Idris Elba is a complete badass. He has just been broken out of prison at the beginning of the movie by Regina King and her gang. And then we have Jonathan Majors, who is from Lovecraft Country, also Loki. He is kind of the leader of the other gang. And they, the whole movie is setting up for kind of a head-to-head conflict for these two gangs in this one town. An old, good old-fashioned fucking Western shootout. But there's really great side characters here. A lot of, you know, some people I've never heard of, but I fucking was really interested in what they brought to the table. A lot of great shit. I actually really ended up really liking this, like, way more than I thought. Elba's not in it as much as I thought he was going to be. This is like way more fucking Majors movie. Regina King's fucking fantastic. I love her in anything she's doing. And Lakeith Stanfield is a badass motherfucker in this movie.
Really?
Fucking really, really good. Yeah.
Is he playing it pretty straight then?
Yeah, completely straight. Like, he is the silent fucking badass motherfucker in this movie.
That's a perfect role for him then.
Yeah, he's fucking great. I love him in this movie.
Does this do anything different that you liked that other, like, Westerns don't do or whatever?
Basically, they just kind of fucking, you know, they ramp it up with, like, moments, right? Like, and that's, and I keep bringing up the soundtrack because that's what it's about. Like, they will give you these big-ass fucking, like, showdowns, but a big-ass fucking hip-hop soundtrack in the background that just makes you kind of, like, get into it a little bit more. Like, you know what I mean? They use music really well in this film, and that is something that I don't usually fucking comment on, but this one, it's really apparent. So,
nice.
Yeah, I actually ended up really liking this. I'll go a soft, like, it's a soft 7 for me. It's actually pretty interesting. And I don't want to spoil anything here, but I mean, even the fact of saying it, like, everything isn't as it seems, put it that way.
Okay.
All right.
2 hours and 10 minutes. Just
yeah, it is fucking long.
Oh.
It was long. It does not go unnoticed. Let me tell you that. That middle part is like, woo. Let's get to that gun, shall we?
Oh, boy. All right.
All right.
What
you got, Jack? Anything?
Oh, Jack, yeah.
Yeah, so a couple movies that have come out over the past few weeks that I don't think you guys have reviewed yet, but I did check out the new Bond movie, No Time to Die.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll set the table a little bit. I love Casino Royale. I didn't give a fuck about Bond before Casino Royale. Bonds to me was paint by numbers, international spy shit, go and see Q. Q gives you the gadgets. You fuck one to two of the Bond girls. And, at the end of the movie, you save the world. And the villain's trying to take over, right? Casino Royale to me was like still to this day, is like a very strong 9 out of 10. Made Bond into a person, you know, and I really like that. The other movies in the Craig run have been to me, varying levels of success. I think Skyfall is awesome. Yeah. Quantum of Solace sucks. Shit. Spectre is, like, okay, but it's way too long.
Way too fucking long.
And this one is a tough movie to review because it's the 25th Bond movie, but it's the fifth Daniel Craig Bond story, so it's got to be, like, a lot of things all at once. It kind of feels like it's a lot of things at once, but I think it mostly succeeds at all of them. So, plot line in this is going to be spoilers for Spectre, because this is a direct continuation of that, but well,
on Spectre.
Leah Seydoux's character is, you know, after the last Bond movie, she's with Bond. They're a couple. And the movie's cold open starts with her and Bond in this, like, Italian villa, and it looks like maybe she betrayed him. Now, Bond doesn't necessarily confirm this, but it's an action scene, so things are happening so fast that he has to make a decision and then move on. So he puts her on a train, she takes off, and he basically goes into exile. And he's no longer working for MI6, he's not an agent anymore, he's just James Bond. And, you know, it's one of those things where from there, the story goes in a bunch of different directions. Anything I say beyond this is kind of spoilery, but the, you know, Bond movies are always measured by the villain, right? So the villain is like, okay, Rami Malek is, I don't think, a very good actor. I haven't seen him be good in a whole lot of stuff. I don't like Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't like Mr. Robot. I don't think this guy's a good actor. So that's kind of a fucking problem for me. This movie is heavily leaning on a lot of the previous Bond movies. It's got references to License to Kill, Honor Majesty's Secret Service, Dr. No. I mean, it's all over the fucking map. So if you're a Bond fan, I think they do put some stuff in there for you. But as a movie on its own, it's interesting. I don't know. I'm of two minds. I think it's an entertaining movie. It's long. It's almost 3 hours long. God, I don't think it needed to be that long. The action's really solid. It's directed by the same guy who made the first season of True Detective. So there is an action scene that's an extended take. Fukunaga?
Oh, Fukunaga. Okay.
So if you remember, True Detective Season 1 had that long take with McConaughey running through the like the slums.
Great episode.
There's something... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's something in here that's kind of similar to that that's pretty good. I think Daniel Craig is awesome. I think the story makes sense for this Bond. I think that it's a good conclusion for this Bond. I think it's a good place to leave the character. And I'm excited to see what they do with Bond next. It's just a movie that has, like, a lot on its plate. It has to do a lot of things. You know, as a franchise, as a conclusion, but also leaving the door open for some more stuff. It's kind of bold. I can see where fans of the franchise might fucking hate this movie. Mm-hmm. I can see where somebody like myself, you know, again, the Casino Royale thing. I think Casino Royale and Batman Begins both came out within like a year of each other. And both of them at the time, for me, Batman I was more into, but both those movies like made those characters interesting to me in a new way, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that this was a really great way to conclude and sort of like close out Craig's reign as Bond, which is something that I don't think, having watched all the Bond movies, that they've ever done cleanly and like well, you know. Rating wise, it's like a strong 7. It's a very strong 7. It's like almost an 8. It's almost an 8, but. It's a good movie. There are some problems that I can't really talk about. The villain is kind of disposable. It does, like, you don't even know what the fuck this guy is after. That, I guess that's my biggest problem. It's like,
no good.
Yeah,
no good.
Yeah, you know, his goals are not like well defined, really. Hmm. But I think it delivers. I think that Craig should be pretty proud of this movie as like his finale and all that stuff. So yeah, I think it's a strong 7. think I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Okay with that.
We try to jam pack too much, like, obvious. We're wrapping this whole, like, Craig legacy up.
Craigacy?
It's.
God damn it.
You can't be serious for one fucking second on this
show.
You can't be that quick either.
Can you check for notes? Alex, you're there. Check for notes somewhere.
The Craigacy. Oh my god. Alright, so here's what I'll say. So.
Is it written on the wall behind your head?
Fucking A. So, Pete, you're a big...
Yes, sir.
And I think I am, too. Mission Impossible fan.
Love
right?
it.
Love Mission.
Yes.
So I think if you look at the Bond movies over the years, they're always a reflection of the action movies at the time. Right.
Okay.
So, like, Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace are very Bourne Identity.
Okay.
Skyfall's very Dark Knight.
Gotcha.
And so is Spectre, you know, a little bit.
Uh-huh.
This is very Marvel Universe. This is very MCU. They're trying to make it a cohesive story and, like, wrap things up.
Yeah.
And also be able to move on from this. I think it mostly works. I think it's actually a good and new thing that they've done.
Yeah.
But like I said, I can see fans of the older Bond movies look at this and say, fuck that, that would never happen kind of thing.
Well, they probably would say that anyway, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, it's cool and it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's my, if I'm going to rank the Craig movies, it's Casino and then Skyfall and then this. So I'd say it's the third best of the Craig movies.
Okay.
I think it's solid. I think the villain is half-baked, but I think they do a lot of cool shit in the movie. I just don't know that I needed to be there for almost 3 hours to see it. That's my biggest problem with it, I guess. But
interesting.
Right. Strong seven. So.
All
right. Nice.
The other one I saw was Last Night in Soho, new Edgar Wright flick.
Oh, hey. Yes.
So, plot-wise, this one is about a girl played by Thomasin McKenzie, who was in Jojo Rabbit. She's really good in that. She's an aspiring fashion designer. She gets accepted to, I think it's like the London School of Design. So she goes to London. She lives with her grandmother, and it's established in pretty much the first scene of the movie that her mother had some mental deficiency and ended up killing herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that she thinks that she sees her mother, like, maybe not the spirit of her mother, but like, she kind of can see her mother sometimes.
Okay.
Thomasin McKenzie goes to this university, doesn't quite fit in, decides that instead of staying at the dorm, she's going to rent a place on her own, goes to rent a place from Diana Rigg's character. This is the last Diana Rigg performance.
Okay.
And...
Why? What happened?
Well, spoiler alert.
Oh, okay.
She retired.
Yeah, she retired
from life.
Jesus. Trying to be nice.
Took her out to a farm.
But you know, Thomasin McKenzie, she spends her first night at the new apartment, and in her sleep seems to have this like vision of somebody else's life. And saying anything else is a spoiler, so it's tough to go into any more details than that. But this movie is It's essentially Edgar Wright's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is what it feels like. It feels like Edgar Wright loved the 60s. He loved a very specific time in history, that music, that style, that feel.
He just wanted to live in it for
He wanted to make a movie there. Anya Taylor-Joy is really fucking good. I haven't really seen her in something that I haven't liked her in yet. She's been solid. Thomasin McKenzie's good. God, what's his name? Matt Stone? Is that his name? The Doctor Who? Matt Smith.
Matt Smith.
He's great. Terrence Stamp shows up in a great role here.
Love that dude.
Yeah, really solid. The soundtrack's awesome. Moreno, you fucking mentioned to me years ago the Who's cover Heatwave.
Oh, in this movie. Yeah, I love that one. Oh, is it really? Yeah,
soundtrack
I love
kicks
that one.
Ass. Love the soundtrack. So this... I think this is the movie that made me realize Edgar Wright is the movie equivalent of Eddie Vedder for me. I love the guy. I don't know that I love everything the guy puts out. I think that's I really love Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. And then everything else after that for Edgar Wright, it's like there's pieces of it that are cool, but it never really comes together as something that I love.
But do you consider anything that he's put out bad?
No, not at all. No.
Okay.
But I would say like Baby Driver's a good example. Baby Driver to me is a cool movie, but it's like Driver's in the title, and I don't think that there's a great car scene in the whole movie. Which is like really fucking strange. The World's End to me
there's a lot of babies in it either.
Yeah. you know, Scott Pilgrim, I kind of can't stand most of that movie.
What?
No pilgrims in that. Yeah. Right?
Exactly, dude. What the fuck? Or The World, really. I mean, let's get down to it.
I literally did the same thing to Broke Me.
But
what the fuck? That's so stupid.
The headphones are off. The headphones are off.
They've lost him.
He's gone.
We've lost him.
He's gone.
Oh, fuck that. Just get a bear. Fuck you guys.
Oh my god.
God damn it.
Oh my god.
But, I loved when Pete said there was no babies in neither. He did like a cat purr. I don't know if you caught it, but he was like,
"Oh,
it was amazing."
No, I said there
was
no Alex babies. Said no babies.
Oh, okay. Then I think Pete went.
It's possible.
But,
I like
Christ.
To purr.
All right, so just to close that.
Sorry, Jack. Sorry.
No. We're all good. We're losing it over here.
Nah.
Fucking Soho, a really fun movie to watch. They did do this thing where it reminded me why I go to the movies. There's the first 20 minutes of the movie, and you'll appreciate this. All the audio is in the center channel. There's nothing around you, and then the first dream sequence when they go to the 60s. Surround sound and everything kind of like slowly envelops you. That was really fun. Nice.
I'm doing the Dolby Atmos.
Exactly.
What a dick.
Fuck that guy. I had a good time watching this movie. It takes some weird turns at the end. That's all I can really say without spoiling anything. The ending is the last third of this movie will like make you either love it or hate it. It's just a weird fucking turn. I don't know that I agree with it, but I really like the performances, the music, the style. I will definitely watch this again, but I don't know if I'll be that interested after a certain point.
Is this like his biggest risk directing a movie?
I'll say this. It's the first time he's made a movie with two female leads. And he leans into that pretty heavily. So it has a certain perspective that he's never had in his other movies that I think is awesome. But I also think that it doesn't... I don't know what he's trying to say in the last third.
Okay.
It's a little muddled. And part of that may be that he co-wrote it with another person. Mm. You know? I don't know. His best shit is when... Simon Pegg and Nick Frost were co-writing with him, you know? Mm-hmm. I kind of wish he would do one of those again.
Oh, yeah.
But that all being said, sounds like I'm being negative. I'm not trying to be negative. I actually would also go a 7 on 10 for this.
Uh-huh.
I think it's fun. I think, obviously, the Halloween season's over, but this is a pretty fun movie to throw on a Halloween.
Okay.
Malignant, right? They were talking about Malignant being like, oh, giallo, whatever the fuck. This is way more giallo than that is.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
Oh, giallo.
There you go. But, I could see if you were to, say, host a Halloween party.
Yeah.
This would be a great... The last third of this movie would be great to have on in the background.
Really? Just,
the aesthetic would be correct.
I have a question.
I have questions, too. Go ahead, Pete.
My question is... Don't answer it if it's gonna spoil someone's viewing of this, but the ending, is it left up to the viewer's interpretation, Or don't answer. Say I can't answer that.
No. There's a definitive story and resolution to what happened.
Fantastic. Yes. Thank the Lord.
You won't have to sit there and wonder what the fuck happened. You will know exactly what happened.
Love it already. 8 on 10.
There you go.
Okay. all right. To get to that ending, Jack. Yeah. Is this movie mostly what the fuck is going on? Like, are you trying to figure out the entire time? And this is a two-part question, Jack.
What?
Is there twisty turnies?
Great question.
So you are trying to figure out what's going on, but not in a way that I think would be annoying to people. There's a linear story. There is, you know, A connects to B, connects to C. It's not like for lack of a better fucking comparison, this is not a David Lynch movie. This is Edgar Wright. He's telling one story. It's going straightforward. Okay.
Is it like a little Black Swan vibe?
Is it a whodunit too?
Is it like Spectre or Skyfall or?
Huh?
It's a little bit like Avengers.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
Oh, my
Which
God.
One? Which one?
No, this is a straightforward story. You don't have to worry about
like
that.
Like Gremlins.
And Law. or like Gremlins 2, really. I mean, let's get down. Law, your second question, what was that?
Yes. Twisty turnies. Are you kind of like surprised about which way this movie goes?
I'll say this. As somebody who's watched a lot of movies, and you're somebody who's watched a lot of movies, I don't think you'll have a problem figuring out what is going on in the third act. It's not anything surprising. Yeah. It's just an interesting way to go. Not trying to spoil it, but it goes in a direction that you can maybe see coming. It's going to be kind of buyer beware. Right, like you're either gonna love it or you're gonna hate it. Mm-hmm. It might not ruin the rest of the movie for you. It didn't ruin the rest of the movie for me. It's just that the ending message is a little muddled, and I don't know exactly why choose that. That's kind of where I'm at. So,
okay, right.
7 on 10.
What act does Simon Pegg come in?
None acts.
None. Okay.
Zero acts. Okay.
Yeah. None acts.
the zero act.
Right.
But you've heard of the three act structure. Here we have the none acts.
But again, like I can tell you this, I'm gonna listen to this soundtrack forever. Soundtrack's awesome. It's very period specific. It's one kind of music. It's my kind of music.
So that kind of goes along with the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he just sourced that year
exactly
of music just based in LA.
Like then so it's one of those things where like the name of Anya Taylor-Joy's character is the same, it's a similar name to a famous singer from that time. So it's very in the way that Baby Driver is tied to the music, this movie is also very deeply tied to the soundtrack. So that aspect of it alone is
I'm definitely gonna watch this. Not watching Bond ever. But I'll watch this.
If you're not into Bond, then there's no reason to get on now, because that would be the fifth movie in that series.
Yeah.
You know?
Does all of a sudden start picking up Bond?
Yeah.
Is now a good time to start watching it?
Yeah.
No time. Work backward? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I mean, Last Night in Soho is fun enough where it's worth taking the shot.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I am. Cool. Nice, Jack.
All right. Jesus. Ooh.
God bless you. Shall we get to a certain style of films now?
We should.
Let's do it.
Sure.
The PR screen of people sending out films all day.
Is it 4 on 10? Is it 10 on 10? Let's just press play.
Screener.
Incredible.
But Law doesn't give a damn about me, 'cause it's not the screener roundup, baby. Yeah, it's not the screener roundup, baby. screener can suck my balls.
All right.
Oh. Buddies. Who do we got on this?
Law got one this week. Law got one, and I got one.
Yeah.
We did a split ski.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so why don't you just tell the people what they're about, Pete? Yeah.
Start it
me?
Up.
Sure.
Who, me? Okay, so the first, the first one is called The Pebble and the Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Whoa, whoa. All right, there's the pebble. Whoa. Where's the boy at?
Here's the IMDb rating review synopsis for Jesus. The Pebble and the Boy.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, wait, wait. I can say this. I don't even need to read IMDb. Ready?
Yeah.
You had a fucking mud boy.
Oh, by the way, Law, I gave our friend Falvey over here the two screeners, so he is also caught up this week.
Oh, it's fantastic.
See, you had a fucking mud boy.
He gets real close on that mic, Law, just giving you a visual.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaky.
Now, here's the synopsis. The story follows John Parker, a 19-year-old from Manchester, who embarks on a journey.
A Jersey journey.
To Brighton, the spiritual home of the mods, on an old Limbretta scooter left to him by his father. The film is a celebration of mod culture and fashion and features music by Paul Weller and The Jam.
The Jam.
So basically, his father passes away. He's left with his bike. And also, he has the ashes of his father. He finds out his father apparently loved Brighton, so he wants to take his mod, his little scooter, to Brighton to
learn more about his dad.
And spread his ashes in Brighton.
Yeah, well, yeah, he wants to do it. Yeah,
so it's kind of like a road trip movie, coming-of-age road trip movie. However, it's not what I wanted this fucking movie to be. That's not what I got.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
No, I was just looking for mods this season. And I got mods.
You had a fucking mud boy.
Thank you.
So basically, acting's okay. I didn't have a problem with any of the acting as far as these characters go. I do like the story idea about this kid's father. I love the idea of this kid's dad passing away.
This kid's dad dying was great. Dude.
Fucking great.
I love the idea of him hopping on the bike for the first time. He's seen it for the first time after, I guess, the accident. And then taking that road trip with the ashes and spreading them out, thinking that's what his father would have wanted. And he's doing a little,
trying to pay tribute and whatnot.
Yeah, but this movie did not, the way I'm saying it, it's not what I got as far as the tone of the movie. A lot of the scenes were drawn out. It's just, the beats of him running into certain characters along the way weren't exciting to me. I think this movie kind of failed at like a road trip paying tribute to the father film. That's my quick review so far. Whoever wants to go next.
So
I loved it.
So do you, I mean, outside of this movie, had you guys ever heard of mods and rockers and all this stuff?
Nope.
I only know of mods because of the Beatles.
Okay.
And they were called mods.
Okay. So the biggest mod band of all time is The Who. And Quadrophenia, the album, is the story of the mods versus the rockers. Specifically, a mod named Ace and his story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm familiar with all the references in this movie.
Okay.
Ooh.
So to me, it is unfucking fathomable to make a movie about mod culture and use The Who's logo in the movie, which is on the helmets, it's on the jackets.
A lot of that shit comes on. Yeah.
And then not reference The Who at all because they clearly just didn't get the rights from The
Correct.
Who.
Correct, yes. They got The Jam.
Now, The Jam and Paul Weller are a mod band.
But in the 70s, though.
And they never crossed over anywhere outside of Brighton and Soho.
Hmm.
So,
what about last night? So,
well, I don't know about last night. Tomorrow night, maybe they'll be there tomorrow night, but not last night. So,
it's my life, Jack.
So, for me, this was a weird movie because it seemed like they were trying to reference The Who, they were trying to reference Pinball Wizard, you know, from Soho down to Brighton, must have played them all. Line of the song.
This went right over my head.
I mean, there's even a point where they go into the store where they see the father's picture on the newspaper clipping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And behind them it says Quadrophenia.
Yeah.
But they can't clearly reference the Who. So it just became like, what if you can't make the movie about the thing and use the proper...
It's a screener.
Right. But if you can't use the proper reference point...
Yeah.
Then, like, why are we doing this? So for me, the kid was fine. The scooter was right out of the Quadrophenia movie with the fucking 30 mirrors. Uh-huh. I mean, that's the imagery of Quadrophenia right there.
Okay.
You look at the Quadrophenia album cover.
Yeah.
He's driving that scooter. He's wearing that jacket. He's got that helmet on. Like, that's what it is.
Okay.
There's that, it's in the Beatles, but there's that reporter who asked Ringo a question in Hard Day's Night.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, are you a mod or a rocker? And he goes, no, I'm a mopper.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
And I didn't know it went all the way back to the fucking Hard Day's Night thing.
What they're talking about in terms of the gangs fighting back in the day, and the one guy who's like, yeah, it seems meaningless now. Like, that was a real thing. There was, like, a cultural difference between the guys who wore leather jackets and the guys who wore the parkas, you know?
And the main kid that we follow in this, with his dad, like, he meets what he thinks are rockers on his trip.
Yeah, right.
And they're just, like, cool dudes or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, they help him out and stuff like that. And
yeah. So,
obviously, that dichotomy doesn't work in the present day or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it means nothing outside of this part of England, too. I mean, apparently...
That's the thing about this film is, like...
It's local.
It's super regional.
Right.
Regional thing. But, so, like... The basics of it, like the kid and his dad's ashes, like that's the only like
the stuff that we're supposed to be able to latch onto. I don't think really works because we live in America and fucking Canada, right? We don't. That's right. We don't understand the difference in fucking geography or distance.
Yeah, but
or
that
whatever.
Should. I mean, that shouldn't matter if you're engaged into the storyline. But I wasn't, so I just like kind of was.
So here's a big problem with this movie, right? You guys don't know anything about mods or rockers, right?
Correct.
Nope.
All right, we fucking established that. You're trying to make us feel bad?
But what I'm like, it's not like the movie helps you understand
that's a cultural
thing, or
they just keep on saying mods over and over.
He says,
"You had a mod, you fucking mud."
You know, like that's just every other scene. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, it's just like this movie fails right out the gate. I mean, you're telling me that this kid goes and sees like three people on his way to Brighton, and all of them are like the biggest fans of Paul Weller and the Jam?
Yeah.
Fucking really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That, like some nothing, not very well-known, like, band from the 70s. They all are huge fans.
I had to look the Jam up.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's the Jam? Is this made up or what?
I like the Jam. I'm not saying that I don't, but like, that's not realistic. I don't buy that at all.
That's why it's super regional, is because like it's all based on mods, and the biggest act they can get is Paul Weller and the Jam, which is pretty great, but
like you're
who
telling
the fuck
me
knows them,
that
though?
Some like 18-year-old chick
she get
wants
lost
to
in the
go...
conversation at some point.
Right.
Yeah,
right. But like, but
I
some
hear him laughing. What are you talking about?
But some fucking 18-year-old chick is like dying to see Paul Weller.
Yeah.
No, dude. She's on TikTok and waiting for fucking Mr. Beast to show up in town. Like, this is not a
love
thing.
Love Mr. Bean.
I don't. Great tiny little car.
So I don't know. This was not like a poorly made movie, but it's just I guess the audience is literally
super
people
regional,
who live in
man.
Brighton.
It's just a super regional movie.
Yeah, like I don't. This won't have any crossover.
My favorite scene is the kid, our main kid. He has a travel buddy, the girl, and then she winds up fucking this dude, and then the guy goes to her hotel room in the morning, and the guy that fucked her is just like like with his arm around her, like he's just showing his dick
and
everything.
Then the next day fucking somebody else
like
of literally later that
day. That kid was a douchebag, you know, like
absolutely.
Well, what do you think about this movie?
What's that?
What'd you think?
I don't know.
Yeah,
wait, exactly. You didn't watch it?
What's that?
You didn't watch
did you watch this,
the mods?
Not yet.
Oh, no! You said it yourself the whole time!
setting it up the whole time.
Bitch.
I love him.
Yes, exactly.
I have been 2 inches from my microphone waiting for just someone to ask me if I watched this.
You fucking asshole. Made me watch fucking Bebel, you dick.
Oh my god.
Fucking bullshit. 3 on 10.
I'll give it a not yet. 4 on 10. 4 on 10. Sorry.
I'm giving this a 3. Alex, what's your rating?
Give me a 5.
He's going for a 5. Jack.
I'm gonna go with 5. I'm gonna go with 5.
Alright. Law, did you watch the other screener?
Alright, so this is a story.
Oh, God damn it.
The last one.
Night Raiders. A mother joins an underground band of vigilantes to try and rescue her daughter from a state-run institution. All right.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
I get fucking getting ready for work, get my lunch ready, fucking sitting there at the kitchen counter, the island in my kitchen. Yeah. Put the fucking laptop up. Well, I might as well bang this out while I'm eating fucking lunch.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm asleep. I'm seriously, completely asleep during this movie. Like a fucking toddler that got woken up for fucking preschool at 6 a.m. I'm sleeping at the kitchen fucking counter. Oh, I wake up, I'm like, it's the fucking screener. I'm in the screener. And then I fucking start watching again. And then I'm asleep again. I fall asleep again at the kitchen counter after I eat my lunch. And the second time after, I just shut it off. I couldn't do it anymore. It was just fucking worthless to me. So I'm sorry, but my review doesn't count for this either.
Jesus, Law.
Wow.
You suck.
This was unbelievably boring from what I saw. That's all I can say.
You're not wrong, man.
Okay.
Interesting.
Jack. It seemed like you have something on your mind because I could see it in your face.
Because I'm looking at you. You're right there.
Go ahead.
This is just like, you could see.
By the way, Law didn't watch this one either.
What? Mm-mm. What the fuck? You fucking.
He fell asleep.
Night Raider?
He fell asleep twice trying to watch it.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Alex, Alex.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Jack is about to tell us his thoughts.
All right, synopsis. All
right, did we get so, the synopsis? Nah, they already did the synopsis. All right. So this is the same fucking story on a surface level as so many other movies and video games have told, right? Post-apocalyptic, there's an adult trying to protect a child in some sort of like nuclear fallout or wasteland or whatever, right? Maybe a disease, maybe some sort of viral infection, maybe shit went down, whatever it is, it's the same setup, okay? This is another one of those fucking movies.
Mm-hmm.
I was okay with it for the first half. I'll give it the first half. This woman trying to protect her daughter or kid or whatever. You know, drones are trying to fucking hunt them down. For some reason, they're going to give the kid over to the state or the government or whatever the
fuck.
Kind of
military they were breeding them for. Something.
I just feel like we've seen this before so many times.
So my problem with this movie comes at the end. So I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about the ending. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. If anybody has a problem with that, just stop me now. You have any? Nope. You have a problem? Any problems?
No problem.
Nope.
Put your hand on my face.
So I fucking watched this entire movie. Okay.
Twice.
Produced by Taika Waititi. He's my fucking boy, right?
He is your boy.
I'm gonna give him a chance.
That's why I got it. That's why the only reason I got this screener was that reason.
Did Taika send it to you, dude?
No, I'm saying that because I saw it was produced by Taika. That's the only reason I agreed to get it.
In any case, so the last fucking piece of this movie, all right?
Yeah.
At a certain point, a character, and this is a spoiler alert for anybody who gives a fuck about this movie.
Yeah, no one cares.
There's a point where a character stops an army of drones from coming to kill their, like, tribe? by raising your hand in the air and then like talking to the drones like they're birds and I guess controlling. I really don't
understand. Which was the opening scene of the movie.
But with birds, right? With
birds.
I have no
that
fucking...
That might as well have been a fucking Neil Breen scene.
It kind of does, dude. Yeah. All she needed to do was type on a laptop and then throw it away and then grab another laptop, type on it and throw it away and do that like...
Go away! Times. Go away!
The government! So in any case...
Crap shit.
This movie, I don't know if there are scenes missing or what. I have no idea what the fuck that ending means. And I'm not... I watched the whole movie. I didn't fall asleep.
Yeah.
I stuck it out, followed the story. I don't know. Maybe I missed it. Maybe you guys know. I don't know what that ending is at all. I have no fucking clue. Why was that character able to just, like, magically control shit?
Good question, man.
Filmmaking?
Yeah, because, if it was, like, actual birds, then it would make sense, right?
Sure.
Because it was, like, the
I guess...
beginning of the film, right? But it's robots. Unless you're part...
Well, this movie fucking sucks.
Yeah.
This is like a two for me. I can't say anything else. This is like a 2 on 10.
So after watching the film, like I was trying to like... Well, I don't want to shit on the movie.
But then you had to because it sucks.
Well, but I just thought of so many other movies that did it better.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like this is... Even the ones that don't do it better, like we've seen it with better production, better actors.
That's the thing. There's,
yeah, exactly.
If that female lead, nothing against her, maybe she is a more popular actress where she's from. I think it may be New Zealand or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, if that was in the States, that could have been like a Jessica Chastain or even Will Smith or somebody big like that who has their. Son or daughter with them that they're trying to keep safe. It plays a little better for us as an American audience or Canada audience because we know the lead. We know
it gives you somebody to attach.
I don't know if that's like cheating in a way, but I was feeling that the whole time. Like I kind of wish I knew who this lead actress was, but I've seen movies where I don't know the actor or actress and I'm okay with it.
And you're down with it, yeah.
But for something where I think maybe we've seen this before plays into it.
Yeah, it's a whole dystopian future bullshit. It's like we're fucking living in it. I don't want to fucking watch it.
Yeah.
Fictionalized when I fucking seen the real thing.
There's nothing good here. It's so forgettable. I don't like it.
Yeah, I didn't want to fucking not like it. You know what I mean? Like they're talking about native people and like native lands and how they're subjugated and fucking oppressed and all that stuff. So I'm like, all right, let's support the message of like awareness or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And then it's just fucking just it's shits just the bed.
Bad sci-fi. Bad sci-fi.
It just shits all over your face, Law. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
That's a 3 for me. It's a
damn.
Double 3.
Trip or dub threes?
Yeah, 3-na.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to give it a 3. I will say that I didn't expect to pick a mod over a fucking...
a tiger joint.
Yeah.
You had a fucking mud boy.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to watch this. And you don't have to
watch it.
Pebble and the Boy either.
No, fuck
oh,
it.
Oh, really?
The Law should watch it.
That's true. Maybe you should. That's your punishment. Your fucking movie homework.
Hey, big screener next week, though, boys.
You're excited. Oh, dude, we can't wait, man. We can't wait.
That's right. Stay tuned, people.
Yeah.
We got a big one.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
That's it?
I think so, right?
That's it. I mean, are we... Are we digging ourselves in a hole with Curb and Succession screeners this week? I mean, are we busting out?
Oh, we're definitely doing that.
I mean,
that's
screeners.
Yeah, no, that's
commentary.
Sure. Commentaries,
sorry.
Yeah, we're definitely.
Yeah, yeah, we do that. Let's do that shit.
Okay.
I mean, Pete and Tom, if you want to take the Curb, go ahead. I will try to make myself available if anybody needs me for Succession. But otherwise, if all four of us are watching it, and Tom's watching Succession too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's available.
Like flip-flop hosts and shit.
We can probably figure it out.
Yeah.
There's enough of us.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Stay tuned.
All right.
All right. fucking fantastic. That's it. Stay tuned for the Wage Against the Machine game, where Reno and I go head-to-head in 80s movies and Pete's fucking cryptic fucking messages that make us insane with anger throughout the episode.
Oh, boy. Always a blast. Always a fucking blast.
Wish I remember the fucking rules of that game.
I don't even remember playing that game.
You hosted it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot. See, I forgot.
Really bad. Really bad.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We will be back next week. And Jack and Alex and Pete, thanks for having a party without me. It's been a fucking blast.
You're here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're here, buddy.
I'm there in spirit.
Let's take a picture with you on video after this is after we end the show.
Wow, he's really fucking just. Right? He wants to make it hurt, right? Law. He wants to make it hurt. Deep. I didn't say shit. Deep. He wants to make it hurt, though.
Yeah, I feel like he wants to be in the photo.
He wants to be included.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
No, it's a macaca bum.
Bye.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the BingeCast on BingeMedia.net. To listen to the full Binge, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/BingeMedia. Binge Media patrons will get access to the full Binge, the BingeCast 4-hour show on a private RSS feed, and they'll get it a full 24 hours before it hits the public RSS feed. Binge Media patrons also get other perks, so check us out at patreon.com/BingeMedia. Subscribe to the Binge Media Podcast Network at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now, the full Binge.
Not yet.